A few weeks ago, I talked about a method of seeing how God reveals himself in our everyday experiences. We covered the first two steps of this method. If you remember what a pirate says, R, A-R-R-R. The first two steps, acknowledge, yes, this thing is bothering me. That's what we do, we acknowledge it. Relate, what is it about it that bothers me? Now today, I want to talk about receiving and responding. The image that we heard about in the first reading, the burning bush, is a great image when it comes to the spiritual life. When the fire of God's presence is in our lives, it is like this image of the burning bush, which, though on fire, was not consumed. Normally, fire is destructive. It does consume. And it's often that we fear this, and we fear this consuming presence of God, that we have to surrender something to the Lord, so we don't fully surrender to him. Often in our lives, we want God's presence, but we want it in a limited way. We'd rather have a sort of a smoldering coal than a raging fire. In other words, we often fear that if we let God have his way in our lives, we will be consumed. He will take something from me or keep me from experiencing what I want to experience. But that fear is rooted in an untruth, a lie. It's rooted in the idea that our freedom is competitive with God. But the image of the flaming bush teaches us that the greater we allow this fire of God's presence to dwell in us, it does not consume us in a destructive way. Rather, it changes us. It supernaturalizes our lives. The more we invite God to dwell in us, the more we can become what we are meant to be. Now, I don't lose anything. I don't have to sacrifice anything that's essential to my being. I don't need to let go of something that's ultimately for my good. In the fire of God's presence, what is consumed isn't something that's holding me back or something that's keeping me from becoming who I'm meant to be. Now, let's hold that image in the background as we consider this approach to supernaturalizing our lives. In the ARRR method, we are very much taking part. In some ways, we are almost in charge in those first two steps, acknowledging and relating. But when it comes to receiving, just like it sounds, it's God who's acting. Receiving is God's part of the action. It's God at work. I can't cause it. I can't make it happen. I can only dispose myself. Receiving is the step where God helps us to see the situation in a new way. A way that we can see this is for my good, whatever this thing that I'm struggling with is. That even in a difficult experience, God is working to bring me deeper in union with him. To put it plainly, he's making me holy. Romans 8:28 says, "We know that all things work for good for those who love God." Really, Lord? All things? Even my own sins work for my good? Even the sins of priests and bishops and others, really, God, all things work for goodness? Is that possible? Is it possible that that happens? Is it possible for me to experience this? Yes. Yes, it is. In faith, we can say it is. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, 3 through 7 says, "For as Christ's sufferings overflow to us, so through Christ does our encouragement also overflow. If we are afflicted, it is for our encouragement. It is for your encouragement and salvation. If we are encouraged, it is for your encouragement, which enables us and you to endure the same suffering that we suffer. Our hope for you is firm, for we know that as you share the sufferings, you also share in the encouragement." So in every cross, every experience of the cross in our lives, the Lord wants to meet us with his consoling love. He wants to be with us. Jesus is there. Just as we are to share his sufferings, we're also to share his consolations. And this is a universal testimony of the martyrs. In the face of suffering and death, they experience peace and joy. Why? Well, it's because they had surrendered and received the joy of that resurrection even before they died. And this is really the key to the spiritual life, this peace that Jesus promises us. Consolation he wants to give us, receiving our supernatural peace in these moments and through the experiences that would normally cause me fear or trepidation or consume me or bring me distress. Instead, Jesus guards me and consoles me. That's the key. The whole spiritual life is kind of this surrendering. Surrendering is what the whole spiritual life really demands. Greatest example of this is Jesus himself in the Agony of the Garden. We see he's there and he's praying. Jesus doesn't put a false confidence into his prayers. He acknowledges from the depths of his humanity his fear and his pain that he's feeling in that moment. He pours it out. Cardinal Ratzinger, who became Pope Benedict, said, "Here we can most clearly see the two natures of Jesus. His human nature must surrender to his divine nature. If the Lord can pray in this way, in his agony, then it teaches us how we can pray in our agony. To pray what we are feeling, asking to take it away, but also to maintain a faith in his goodness." What to do in our agony? Go and pray. Pour it out to the Father. This helps us to see how different this is than just grinning and bearing it, or just white-knuckling it, or just taking it upon myself, taking the bull by the horns, these kinds of things. To just hold on tight, and I'm going to get through this, that's a different way. That's how we might approach it, but that's not what it is. That's not what God is asking us to do. When we try to pass through a difficult experience through our own power alone, it rather hardens our heart. It separates us from God and from others. And then it leads to this place where I never deal with why I'm struggling with this thing. I never enter into that question or that struggle of what is really happening inside of my heart. We can't learn from that experience. I have to relate it to the Lord. What's keeping my heart from receiving that? There's really two central things to this process. First is prayer, and second is self-knowledge. In prayer, it's the place where we relate to the Lord, we receive from God. So if I'm not praying, I won't be able to relate to him, and I won't be able to receive from him this new way of seeing this situation, whatever it is that I'm struggling with in my life and I'm offering to him in prayer. It's that place where we can begin to see as God sees. Sample, example from my own life. When I was early in my seminary experience, I was struggling with the thought of giving up the possibility of wife and a family. Not only in the abstract, that was certainly a struggle, but also in particular, just that experience of saying, okay, Lord, there's an attraction here. What do I do with this? I have this desire to be totally understood, to be loved fully for who I am. Can you fulfill that, Lord? This was a question that I kept returning to over the time of discernment. I kept relating it to the Lord, and over time, I got to the point where I did trust that, yes, Lord, I know that you will be with me, that you can fulfill this desire of my heart. There was a temptation, though, at a certain point to just leave the seminary and pursue a possible relationship with a woman that I was greatly attracted to, who I greatly admired, who had been a friend of mine, who in some ways was instrumental in my own growth in the faith. I don't know what would have happened if I would have gone that route. She wasn't Catholic, she was a committed Christian, but, you know, who knows? Now she's happily married, has two boys, and she and her family, she and her husband actually work at a church down in the cities. So I know I had that hunger, I felt this desire, and I didn't know what to do with it. And I still feel that desire in my life. It's still part of who I am as a person. And yet, I know that the Lord is the one that can satisfy that. That relationship, even though in that moment it felt like maybe that would fulfill it, that hunger that we all have, only the Lord can really fulfill that. So turning away in that time, I think, would have been the mistake. At the time, I didn't know that. And I was wrestling with it. And so it felt like I was giving up this opportunity for this fulfillment of this desire. It was a great grace of faith that I was able to, remain with the Lord and stay with him in that turbulent period. I'm sure that experience will help me and has helped me, I know, looking back, to stay the course when there are difficult times. It helps me remember that. Okay, the Lord was with me then, He's with me now. It's a work of continually going before the Lord, offering my fears, my desires, and offering that to God in prayer. Now, we can't always control when we receive, right? So, you know, those desires were there, but it took years of discernment before I could trust, before I did trust, and begin to see it in the way that the Lord saw it. And that can take a long time. Imagine if I had never gone through that process of relating it to God. Imagine what bitterness might have set in, or disillusionment, or resentment, if I just held it in, or I just tried to white knuckle it, or just push through it myself. So that's important, that we have that prayer, that process of praying, going to the Lord in prayer and offering that. So then self-knowledge is the next important area that we need to have. We need to be masters of our own hearts. It can't be a mystery of what's going on inside. We have to know what emotions, what things are happening inside. If it's a mystery, then we need to delve into that mystery. We must know what happens in our own heart on a regular basis. Hopefully through prayer, we can see what's happening there. We can ask ourselves, what's been causing me joy today? Or what's been upsetting me today? What is going on inside? And keeping watch over that, what is happening, why I'm down, why I'm happy, what's going on, this is a very important thing for us. If there's no self-vigilance, then my heart goes everywhere it wants, right? Without understanding or what's driving this, I don't understand. There's no restraint on the impulses of the heart, and so we just kind of follow after it. And it's not that we are always led in the wrong direction, but sometimes we need to hold back and say, this is not the right thing. So we need to have that self-knowledge, prayer and self-knowledge. And then this finally leads to respond. In the last step, we really are just receiving from the Lord. We've received from Him, and now it's in faith that we respond to whatever it is that He's placed there, following in the direction that God gives to me. A lot more could be said about these, but our response is always rooted in that awareness that God has given this to me. God is leading me. If I surrender to God, He will lead me. And so that response is always rooted in whatever response He gives to us. So as we continue our journey this Lent, let's not fear to invite the fire of God to enter into our hearts, enter into our lives. May we be like that burning bush, come ablaze with God's presence and learn to see God in our daily experiences.